Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
Oh, just hanging out with my two favorite people. How are you guys?
Oh, I'm great, man.
Good. Thanks for the pib extra, Snow Cone.
Yeah, that's nice of you, man.
Hey, you're welcome.
Yeah, hell of a guy.
He does that every so often. He brings pop.
He's a good guy. I like him.
How are you?
Thank you.
I'm great.
Good. What's going on in your life?
Nothing, really.
Yeah, you know, when you get to our age, every day we come in here, say what's going on. Not much, really. But I will say, you texted me last night. And I didn't see it, so, I mean, it is partially my fault, because it took me a while to respond, but when I responded, you didn't say anything else. You asked me if I was watching the Quiet on Set. What's that guy's name?
Dan Snyder.
Yeah, well, what's the other guy's name? The kid from Drake.
Drake Bell.
Drake Bell. Because
I keep confusing him with Dredd Scott.
Yeah, don't do that.
Man, I do, though. I know. Like, yeah, Dredd Scott.
It all became about Drake Bell. But apparently this thing has huge ratings.
Really?
And yeah, and I saw that, you know,
there were things in it that I was like, man, I don't know, man. I don't know.
So I wondered if Drake Bell was going to use this opportunity, because I'd heard people before I even got home from work saying, hey, have you guys seen this yet? You won't believe what happened to this guy. And Snow Cone, you mentioned the other day that Drake Bell has had some scandals of his own.
A lot.
If you look at his Wikipedia page, his wife had accused him of some physical and verbal abuse, I think. And there was
a lot of grooming talk allegations,
about,
I believe.
Texting underage people that he said he didn't know were underage and ended the correspondence.
He didn't get in any trouble. Yeah. There was no proof, according to this.
Right.
They told him the cops looked into it and they were like, yeah, you were texting, but there was nothing sexual in nature in the text,
like nothing
right?
illegal. At least yeah.
nothing
illegal.
Nothing illegal is what they said, so I don't know what that means.
It looked like his only legal trouble was like the DUIs.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was more than one, which he mentions in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought, you know, I wonder if he's going to, because on my way home, I was getting texted. Brooks, like, hey, can we watch this? People are asking me about
like
it. I was like,
2-year probation on child endangerment charges.
Oh, there was a child endangerment charge. And what was that for? Was that?
I just read the Washington Post headline here. I'll have to look at it.
Yeah, go back, because they do mention something about that on his Wikipedia.
Sentenced Monday to 2 years of probation over charges related to inappropriate communication with a girl who he met online and attended his Cleveland concert in 2017 when she was 15.
And he said he didn't know her age. Once he found out her age, he cut off communication.
So, yeah, he was charged with that.
But I wondered if he was like, is he going to tell this?
Was he found guilty?
Well, he got probation.
I know, but did they? I was just that thing made it sound like maybe they even knocked that down. Like,
Bell pleaded guilty in June to felony attempted child endangerment and a misdemeanor charge disseminating matter harmful to juveniles.
Yeah, oh, what does right, matter? Yeah. What does that mean? What was he? Is it just texting or was he sending?
They certainly didn't go after him hard in this.
No. You don't know the full story.
They made it seem like. Yeah, they certainly didn't go after him as hard as they went after Dan Schneider if they were doing the same thing.
No.
It came off to me as like, if you come talk on the show, we won't bring that stuff up.
Yes. Right.
That's what it came off as.
But they do. Did you watch all of it last night?
I did.
Okay, so he does clearly make reference to it towards the end, and I think the idea is if you know the story about him, if you already knew this stuff about Drake Bell and some of his legal issues, then what he's saying there at the end would make sense. If not, it still sort of makes sense. But he says, essentially, I think a lot of these things that happened to me in my childhood led to a lot of the issues that I had as an adult, which I thought, that's probably...
That's how it works.
That's how it works. I mean, you can't really deny it. You can't get mad at him for saying that. The craziest thing about all of this, though, I thought, because you did think that this series was going to be about Dan Schneider, but it really becomes more about Drake and that particular producer, whatever he was, line, script helper guy that was fired eventually.
Schneider ever get in trouble for anything?
No, and I will get to that. He has now spoken out.
Yeah, he has.
I have some audio
from
him.
They just kept saying, like, Dan Schneider says this. And everything they said that
he zoomed in on pictures of kids' feet. There was too many shots in the show of kids doing things that looked like innuendos. And then the massage thing.
But I thought
thing,
they all were.
It was a toxic work
environment. They all were, but it didn't... They were sexual innuendos if you got the joke like that, right? Like, if you thought about it, then,
I know what you're saying.
The slime on the face, right?
Mm-hmm.
They kept going back to that over and over again. And, yeah, it's kind of an innuendo, but it's not really.
But if you see it through the lens of an adult,
right.
It's an innuendo.
But it was a kid show.
Doesn't have that
but
as
lens.
A kid, right, he doesn't. And as an adult, I felt like if you watch that, you're like, oh.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's an innuendo or not, right?
Yes.
You're not sold that it is.
Right.
But you're like, it could be.
Okay.
And it's kind of like that. And they I don't want to say with the slime on the face, but they still do that in kids' movies.
Yeah, good example. The Trolls movie that Bomb Pop loves, the new one.
Right.
There's a part where there's two characters that get ambushed and they're held down and they're tied up and they're on their honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And the woman says to the guy, like, I didn't imagine both of us would get tied up during our honeymoon.
Right, exactly. So
yeah.
They still do that in a bunch of them. Right.
Yeah. But I don't even know if that's what these were. I don't know if these were intentionally meant to go over kids' heads and for adults to be like, oh, because
I don't know if
they were
either.
I
was,
adults weren't watching the show.
Yeah, I was a little
torn about some
about the Dan Schneider stuff, to be honest with you. Like, I think you guys might be making something sexual out of something that wasn't sexual. I'm not 100% sure. There's
right.
no way I can be Dan Schneider, and if they were all laughing about it or whatever. But some of that stuff I did not get that vibe from. I really didn't.
Well, and you know what got me where it almost felt like someone who had been sitting there accusing Dan of all this terrible stuff, but then sounded almost like she was agreeing with us. She said, there's a lot of shots of girls in short shorts and bikinis and, every opportunity that he could get, it seemed like, to put these kids in swimsuits. But then she says, and, kids should be allowed to wear bikinis, and there should be no shame in that. And
right.
Well, I'm like, well, okay, but so wait a second.
It was just like, in some of the stuff, I was like, oh, that is... That
the Ariana
weird.
Grande milking the potato and then the water on her face. That seemed
I don't see
that
any
was bizarre.
Excuse for that.
That was bizarre. And the stuff that they said, when he's going behind, I think their main accusations against him that stand up probably is that he was asking for massages every day. You can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, like all that stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not
stuff.
Defending.
That's
so
the
that
stuff.
Was like, you can't do
he
that,
was a
man.
Dick boss, apparently.
That is, you're a bad dude, like a bad boss, and. Clearly misogynistic.
Yes.
Right? But the actual videos, I was like, man, I think maybe if you focused on the stuff that he actually did, which was bad enough, it felt like you were taking something that, when the kid, they show the one where the girls, they sneeze,
mm-hmm.
and then the slime's on her mm-hmm. face. I'm like...
Right, that's a kid's
man, joke. I didn't even take that
no.
as...
It's like egg on the face.
You're using that as an example. And I haven't seen these shows. But if you're using that as one of the worst examples, because it's in the documentary, Man, that doesn't seem sexual to me.
Right.
The Ariana Grande was the most egregious to me.
But the sucking of the toes?
No,
well there was that.
But her twisting that potato like this.
Trying to milk the potato and then laying on the back of her face and the water spray on her face. Now, that looked also like it had maybe been edited together, oddly.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Those two scenes.
Yeah, I'd like to see that unedited and why someone was throwing water on her face when she laid back. But, you know, I've heard people say in the past, if you see a kid, like in Europe, you know, kids will run around at the beach, and little girls don't wear tops half the time because they don't have breasts. They're little kids.
There's nothing there.
And Americans are always, oh my gosh, I can't believe. But the response from the Europeans is always, if that's sexual to you, then that's your problem,
right?
Then there's something wrong with you,
point.
And that's
there's
your problem.
Nothing there to look
so
at.
They say the same thing, like if you, you know, think that it's inappropriate for a teenage girl to wear a bikini, then that's your problem. That's an excuse or a defense that some people make, an argument that she's allowed to do it, which that woman on the show last night
said.
Like, they should be allowed to, okay? The foot stuff. First of all, feet aren't, like, asexual, right?
Right.
You have to have – that's considered a fetish. And then on top of that, you're talking about kids. So I assume – now, if Dan has a foot fetish and he was taking advantage of that by making Ariana Grande suck her toes –
That's what I'm saying. It's impossible for us to know inside his head.
Yeah.
Right. But taking it just at face value
– yeah.
I didn't see – again – not defending him because what he did with the massage and all that stuff.
A bad boss.
Right. A bad boss. But I didn't think the stuff that was shown on TV was so overtly sexual or even over the top, like you said, to the Trolls movie or stuff that I watch with my kids, you know, when they were little.
The
like
Muppets,
you're like, oh,
all of them
that's an adult joke.
Yeah.
It's an adult sexual innuendo joke. They all do it, right? And so,
I think, is it different with cartoons as opposed to kids actually acting this out?
Well, and telling a joke might be different
than
physical.
But I'm also to the to the idea that I didn't find that stuff overtly sexual in nature.
Right.
You know what I mean? Unless you guys, I don't know if I mean, I guess I could go with you to the potato thing. I don't, you know.
And I'm only maybe on
that. You can split hairs
maybe.
With it. I don't care. I'm a maybe on it. But put it, if that's the worst that he did, the literal worst. I didn't think that those shows were overtly sexual of children.
Yes,
I just didn't.
And for the feet thing, like when you watch it, you know, we see these edits back to back to back to back foot scenes. We're talking about thousands of hours.
Episodes.
Right.
Right.
And
you know,
we're watching
so
it under the idea that this guy is a pedophile.
Right.
I mean, that's how, I mean, they're making it sound
and
like
feet
he's
sexual,
part
obviously.
Of the group of guys who worked on the set who are pedophiles. And some of them clearly were.
Yeah.
But they kind of just put him in with that.
Exactly.
And then they're like, and watch, he made a kid suck his own toes. And I'm like,
okay, but what about the guy who's raping Drake, right?
Right.
I mean,
but it felt like you're trying to make them all together.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like why are,
and I'm like, I'm not sure he's the guy.
That can be a separate episode. Start with him. Here was the problems we had with him.
Right.
The fact that they kept bringing up Dan Schneider, because the last two episodes last night.
Guilt by association almost.
It felt like, look at what all these guys were doing. When really, when they're talking about.
If you're curious, we're talking about a documentary on Max called Quiet on the Set.
Quiet on Set.
It's just about Nickelodeon.
The Dark Side of Kid TV.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What it's called?
Yeah.
Now, and other stuff too, like the, you know, I don't know why that one dude lost his job.
The which one?
Well, there's the one guy who. Well, I don't know. No. The kid.
Oh,
there was
okay.
a kid who lost his job. He's like, when I lost my job, I lost all my money for my family, and you know, I started drinking everything else. I'm like, dude, that's work.
Right, but
like I hate to say that. Now I don't know that if you did anything wrong, if he didn't think you fit the show, I have no idea. He's like, my mom made a lot of noise. My mom, I don't know what the issue was, but the issue of just firing a kid from a TV show is not like he doesn't have the responsibility to keep them on season after season, whether he thinks they're good or bad or whatever.
I didn't take it that way. I felt
we
like
can't
that
tank
was
the show because this kid isn't great or whatever.
Right, and
but we have a responsibility to keep him on for his salary.
Exactly.
I just didn't
vibe that.
I get that. I mean, it's a weird.
I didn't take it that way.
Kids get fired all the time.
Right,
yeah.
But
people get fired all the time. That's work.
Exactly that. But that's how I took it. I felt like they were saying, "Here's the dark side of kids' TV," and there's several things we're going to talk about. And one of the things is that 14-year-olds aren't mentally prepared to get fired and or be told that they're too fat for
but
a role and
they
get fired
again,
and have to spiral out of control because they don't have a job.
To his defense again, let me say, again, they put it under the light of this is a bad dude and everything he does is bad and look what he did to this kid by firing him. Like, if that, then That's a different documentary.
Right. I'm like, just saying I didn't take it. I guess I took it differently. I took it as
Kids he's a bad guy.
Bad. Kids TV is bad. And this guy was the head honcho. So
right.
Get
and
that.
He fired someone and look what happened to their life.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't, you know, it didn't, you know, it put it, another thing that he did while they're framing him in a bad light. It's like they're framing the documentary that Dan Schneider's a bad guy. And part of this has to do with Dan Schneider firing this kid and look what happened to him. So, you know, I get it. It's bad TV, but it's also Dan Schneider. They didn't go out of the Dan Schneider world and say, like, this kid was fired, too.
No.
And here's what happens. And here's the bad part of child stars in general. It all comes back to Dan Schneider. Dan Schneider fired me. Dan Schneider wouldn't talk to me. Dan Schneider was mean to me. Dan Schneider yelled at me. Dan Schneider did. It was all that.
I felt like they did a decent job, actually, of talking to those adults that were doing the interviews that were kid stars, talking about what it was like once their career ended and how difficult it was trying to go back to have a normal life. I couldn't have a normal life.
Sure.
I didn't feel like that was an attack on Dan. I felt I felt like it was just an attack on kids working on a TV show.
I guess.
But I got that vibe, too, to be honest.
But it was all under him.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Dan was like the main thread that they kept.
Right. Even like, we didn't even know if Dan fired him.
Right.
Right.
But you walked out of there thinking he did. Because Dan Schneider's remark was like, I didn't always have the, I think his thing, you know, one of the, he didn't talk, but.
The little epilogue statements.
Yeah, his little statement, you know, was some, you know, he didn't always pick.
Yeah, the cast members.
Right. Like, that wasn't always his job.
But,
and so, basically saying, like, I don't know, maybe I didn't fire that guy. And they never went into that any further. Like, did Dan Schneider fire him? Why did Dan Schneider fire him? Just that this kid lost his job. Dan Schneider was in charge, and now this kid's an alcoholic.
Right. Well, I thought that the stuff about Jake Bell in last night's episodes was crazy, and the fact that that guy who did, you know, it's really focusing on this guy who was seems like a pretty serious pedophile, assaulter, whatever, sexual predator.
Oh, that's what I wanted to text you about, too.
Uh-huh.
That, because
the people defending him,
I didn't know any of them.
Oh, I knew Alan Thicke, the woman
Alan
who played
Thicke.
His,
I remember Alan Thicke,
the
of
woman
course.
Who played his wife on the
and
show,
then,
Growing Pains.
Those two, Joanna Kearns, there was and Alan Thicke. But then there was just a litany of people. I was like, I've never heard of any of these people.
Some of them had been child actors too.
I
recognized a couple of them. There were a couple I didn't recognize, but the fact that these
like they'd
actors,
show their picture, I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. So when this guy goes to court, you know, and Drake it tells the story about what happens. It's,
I know
it's
they
bad.
They tried to make them look bad too.
Who? The actors?
Yeah.
For writing those letters?
Yeah.
Well, the letters looked pretty bad.
But I felt like they slyly put in that lady who's doing the documentary and the writer, they slyly put in it just in a quick conversation that they don't know that these people knew what happened.
They said it's unclear what details they knew or
exactly.
What they'd been told.
And right. Joanna Kern said in a response, I didn't know.
Or I wouldn't have written the letter.
Or I wouldn't have written the letter. So now you've taken these people, you're like, hey, you know, his attorneys call and say, hey, can you write a letter, you know,
for
of your experience with this guy? And they're like, man, he's a great dude, never had any problems. But then you find out what he's accused
well,
of and guilty of.
Yes.
And they just said, well, we don't know. And then the people who wrote the letters then said, we didn't know what he was actually
at least one of them did. But the problem is when they showed what was in some of those letters, and some of those letters were basically saying, look, you know, he did this, but I'm sure he's sorry.
Well, the one was he was tempted.
Yeah, there was more than one where they said, like, you know, if basically that he must have been tempted. Or, so one of them said he must have been tempted beyond belief, something like that.
Right.
I'm like, what the? And the other one said, you know, I know he's sorry for his actions and he totally regrets it. Now, again, we don't know exactly what they told
it
him his actions were.
It made me feel like, at least with the Joanna Kearns one, she didn't know what the exact allegations were.
Right. But I want to know, what did you think he did and why were you saying he was... You know, and I'm not saying this was her specifically, but why were these people saying if he did it, he must have been really tempted?
Well, that
he
was one person. I thought that was ridiculous.
Well, that was ridiculous, but there was then another one that said he's very sorry for what he's done. Now, maybe they thought what he did was yell at a kid.
No, right.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. But for Drake to have to sit there in court and see these letters of support, you know, a kid who.
Hey, I think it's horrible. But that
unbelievable.
Said. That said, it also made me feel like. I don't think Joanna Kearns knew what he was accused of.
Maybe, but then the guy...
I believed her in her little statement. And I would not have written the letter if I would have known. I don't think if they knew, like, what was in those things. I can't believe anyone...
At what
I wouldn't
point
either.
Did they write the letters?
So when he's in court, he's going to court...
I know, but I'm saying,
lawyers,
were they written before this trial? The charges were announced? Like,
I'm guessing,
like, you know,
because
during the
Sims had to do it, too. And I've done it for him.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, I don't know what Slim is accused of in court. One... It's a minor in court, so they're probably not releasing a lot. So you don't know, and what happens is Slim's lawyer contacts me. and says, hey, can you just write a letter of reference for Slim? What it was like working with him, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, hey, Slim's a great guy. Worked with him, you know.
Never had a problem.
Never had a problem. You know, I know, basically, I might know, hey, this had something to do with kids. I don't know if it's overworking, yelling. I don't know. Like, you know, I've let him around my kids anytime. Great dude. Boom. I fired off. That's it.
Yes.
And then later on, you see a guilty verdict for rape of a child, and you're like,
why did I write that letter?
I didn't know that. And that's what basically Joanna Kearns is saying. I worked with him. We worked with kids. He was cool. Never had a problem.
Right. If those letters had said, I've always had good experiences with him.
Right.
And some
now,
of them
the one
did.
That said the tempted
some
part was weird.
But
right,
there was
of
a couple of them that had some verbiage in there. I was like, why would you say that? All right. Well, I know we got to take a break, but Dan Schneider was watching this show at the same time that
we
were, apparently.
I'd be watching it.
And now he's come out and spoke about it. So okay. I do have a clip of him.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
Okay. What's going on?
So this, boy, this whole
that's funny.
Max.
We're talking about all the court stuff and everything else. And if you want to catch up with what we talk about when the mics are off, you can join us on twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo or watch it later. But just one of the things that Chad said, Cone better be careful. Laszlo about to have a talk to a prosecutor in a very small Kansas town.
Yeah.
Just write a letter of de-recommendation.
Did you get that?
I'll tell you what. Whenever he was around, stuff was weird.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't ask
Laszlo
for that letter.
Can you write a letter of de-recommendation?
Whatever you think he did, he probably did more.
My only question is, what do you know?
Right, exactly.
Not what did he do. I know what he did. Right. I'm just curious, what do you know?
Because just what I've seen when I'm around him, which is, what, maybe 2% of his life, he's done enough to be in prison forever.
All right.
So, did you get that taken care of, by the way? Is it over?
Next week, I have to go back.
Oh, no! You have to go to court next week? Wait, so what happened that day?
Did you
day?
Get your plate?
You
hold on, hold on. We can talk about this later.
Oh, yeah,
later.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Come on, come on.
Well,
right.
I thought we were gonna
hey,
do
no,
the,
he's right, he's right.
I thought we were going to do the Dan Schneider thing next, right?
We'll do the Dan Schneider thing next. That's fine. We'll talk to Snow. Singleness of purpose here.
You're right.
As a producer, he's finally made in 10 years one good call.
You're right, you're right.
The Church of Laszlo.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello. Yo.
Yo, so it's kind of weird that as we're sitting there texting each other about the show, the Quiet on Set,
yeah,
Dark Side of Kids TV, that the guy who the show is mostly about, Dan Schneider, is probably watching it at the exact same time we are. You always wonder when you see those, like, I wonder if this person will watch this. The Dynasty Patriots thing. I wonder, will Bill Belichick watch that and see how he was portrayed?
I thought, probably not.
I kind of got the same
thing.
Belichick,
and I thought Brady,
probably not. I thought the same thing.
Robert Kraft, yes. Every other player,
and
yes.
And the other players all, yes.
Right.
I
and
thought
maybe Brady. I get a vibe, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah,
you know what? He seems like the kind of guy that is busy.
Yeah.
And when he gets a break, he'll turn it on.
Yeah. Belichick, I bet my life.
Belichick is like, I don't watch anything.
Like. Yeah.
I'm losing my focus.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're not working. Too bad.
Because I heard the criticisms that they said, you know, oh, it was negative against Belichick.
And I think Robert Kraft was like, this is the greatest documentary ever. Like,
of course.
Let's watch it again. I'll bring up my friends and family. I bet you he had a party while it was on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, that was the documentary we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
This week, it's this
Quiet on the set
thing, which it seems a lot of people are watching. And Dan Schneider, the guy who created and wrote a lot of these Nickelodeon shows back in the day, I mean, big hits. It was iCarly and Drake and Josh, The Amanda Show, worked on all that, Zoe 101.
It's so funny because I hadn't seen any of them.
There was one they mentioned.
But then
at
the end of it, they started mentioning ones after he left that my boys started to watch.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, they must have just missed that
window.
You know, I was too, you know, I remember and watched Nickelodeon, but missed those.
Right.
And then they missed the other ones. Like they, you know, they watched the superhero one. They even mentioned it.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it every day. It was just, you know,
they said
a couple
the
years
age,
after.
The target demo is 6 to 12 to maybe 14. But they said 6 to 12-year-olds was their.
Right.
So, you know, if you're not that age while those shows are out, there's a good chance you missed them. They were just right after my time. I was a Salute Your Shorts, Hey Dude guy. But I was aware of these shows and especially became more aware as time went on and you started hearing things about some of these actors. And Jeanette McCurdy, who was the co-star of
iCarly.
And wasn't she also on another show? I thought they said it doesn't matter, but she was the blonde on iCarly. She wrote a book. I think it was called, like, I'm Glad My Mother's Dead. Right?
Yep.
And then went and did interviews on podcasts and TV talking about how toxic that work environment was and made a lot of accusations of, of how horrible basically her life was as a child and as a child actor. So there had been these rumors swirling around for at least 10, 15 years now about Dan Schneider online. People had started to put together YouTube clips and saying, look at all this weird stuff that was in these kids shows that we didn't watch because we weren't the right age or we're now old enough to look back on and say, this seems weird. So the documentary really does, as we mentioned earlier, kind of focus on him, yet the really bad stuff is done by other people. These other guys that end up going to court, the sexual assault stuff and whatever.
Yeah.
Dan, it seems like, is accused mostly of potentially poor taste.
Yeah, misogynistic.
And then being misogynistic on set and a toxic boss. Right?
Yes.
So that's.
But only from a few people.
There were like.
There was other people who like, you know, like even people
Drake
who went.
Bell
was like, he was a great guy.
Basically said he was the
one
who
was there for me.
And
then there was that other guy who was like, you know, it looked like weird stuff was going on, but I got to be honest with you, he was always nice to me. That guy in the green shirt. Like, you know, so that. I was like, all right, well, not a great boss.
Right.
But it wasn't like a lot of it was like, well, I don't know. Was he horrifying? I don't know.
Right.
I feel like I've worked for, if that's what he did was a mix between that, I've worked for worse bosses
building. A lot of people probably have.
Yeah.
So as dads, when you guys see like the Drake Bell part where his dad is talking about, I needed a way to connect with my son, decided he wanted
completely
to do acting.
Makes sense.
And I thought, you know what? I feel like this guy's a good dad. It made sense.
Completely
he wanted to be around
sense.
His kid.
Dad seemed like a really good
dad. He wasn't
trying
to steal his money. He was his manager because he wanted to be near him because he was a kid.
Yeah.
But when you get to the parts where he's telling his ex-wife, hey, if you're going to take over for Drake,
make sure
that he's not alone with this Brian guy ever.
Right. And then she just started letting
him. She's like, oh, you can pick him
up. Spend the night with him.
Yes.
I'm like, even if you hate your ex-husband, he's giving you he's giving you a warning. Like, I've been with him for all these years, and now he says in the court say that I can't see him.
Right.
But let me tell you, there's something weird going on. You should keep your eye on this particular human being with our son because I don't trust it.
Yeah.
And then literally within days, she's like, yeah, it's too far to drive. Just spend the night with him.
Let that guy
drive. Like, what?
He'll drive you and stay the night.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Did you watch all of it, Snowcone?
There was nobody happier that the dad was out of the picture than that pedophile. He was like, yes.
And when the dad went to people on the set and said, hey, this guy seems like he's around my kid too much and he acts oddly, they said, oh, well, you're homophobic because he's a gay man, so you're just noticing that he's effeminate or whatever they said, and basically accused him of being homophobic.
Yeah, but I went back and, like, in the time, you know, in context with the time.
I'm not necessarily mad at the person that said that.
Yeah.
And they may have thought that's what was happening.
And I'm not even mad at the dad, because the dad was like, well, am I?
Right.
Because it is like, you know, he was like, wow, all right, well, this is Hollywood.
Exactly.
Maybe, I don't know, the guy's gay. Maybe I'm making a bigger deal out of this than I should. Probably where I would be. Like, hey, he's always like touching him and asking, you know, acting kind of effeminate towards him. And they're like, no, he's gay. It's fine. I'd be like, there might be a part of me who's like, God damn it.
Why did I say anything?
Am I judging this guy?
No.
I don't want to be that dude.
Yep.
Right? You know what? I feel like the dad was like, rock.
Yep. No, I totally agree.
Why'd I do that? Mm-hmm. Of course. I'm the bad guy here, you know? I'm seeing it through my lens, and clearly anybody who pats the back of a kid and has fun with him is a pedophile. No, he's not. Right. He acts different than I do.
Yep. No, I totally agree.
Right.
Where I start to lose respect for these parents is when they just leave their kids alone and say, do whatever this person says and we'll drop you off and you stay there. Whereas it seemed like Drake's dad was not
Poncho
that kind
KC
of parent.
Oh, yeah, Poncho KC on Twitch, Church Lazo, twitch.tv/Church Lazo, he says they only mentioned for a second, but that dude was with Leo.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to know what Leo says about it. Like, did anything happen to Leo?
Right.
Because the rubbing in the back, they show it with Leo. I'm just curious. Leo ever said anything?
How many years did it take? So from the time that guy met, Brian was his name, right? The assaulter.
Brian Peck.
Yeah. So from the time he met Drake, how long was it until he, I feel like it might have been a while.
Yeah, they don't really say
so
that.
I wonder if it's because he had so much time with him and then had this, you know, access to
him. Yeah, I don't know what Leo's mom and dad are like.
Right,
I have no idea. They may have said, like, no, you're not spending the night at this dude's house.
Right.
It seems like all that stuff happened once he had unlimited access to him, like he's sleeping on his couch. Mm-hmm. So maybe, I literally don't know if Leonardo DiCaprio has parents.
He never got the chance.
Right,
I have no idea if he has parents. He could not.
Never seen
him. It's impossible to know.
Yeah.
Like Snowcone says, but really, have you ever heard of his parents?
Never seen him.
So maybe
they don't exist. Who knows?
Right. Or maybe they're good parents.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, no, we drove him to work and took him home and, you know, I don't know, the guy touched him. And we were like, that's weird. And they're like, he's gay, you're homophobic. We were like, okay. And then we just took him home. Like,
Dan Snyder has responded now. He's given an interview.
He's given an interview, and it sounds like he was watching the show at the same time that we were watching it. And the only responses that we got from him on the show were, like Lazo said, at the end of the episode, they scroll this little thing up. And Dan would say, you know, I apologize for this, or I deny this. They're very brief little statements, but sounds like he was watching it, and he has now done an interview with Bobby K. Bowman, also known as Bougie. You guys know Bougie Snyder?
Nope.
Okay, well, me neither. Anyhow, they got Dan Snyder to do an interview, and Dan addressed these accusations.
Watching over the past two nights, very difficult, facing my past behaviors, some of which are embarrassing and that I regret, and I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology. No writer should ever feel uncomfortable in any writer's room, ever, period, the end, no excuses. Most TV writers, comedy writers have been in writers' rooms and they are aware that a lot of times there are inappropriate jokes made and inappropriate topics come up. But the fact that I participated in that, especially when I was leading the room, it embarrasses me. I shouldn't have done it. That was wrong. That was because I was an inexperienced producer. I was immature. Wouldn't happen today, but I'm just really sorry it happened. All these jokes that the show covered over the past two nights was written for a kid audience because kids thought they were funny and only funny. Now, we have some adults looking back at them 20 years later, and they're looking at them and they're saying, oh, you know, I don't think that's appropriate for a kid's show. I have no problem with that. If that's how anyone feels, let's cut those jokes out of the show, just like I would have done 25 years ago. I cut it.
I thought that was sort of interesting. You know, obviously, they say in the documentary that Dan had the ultimate call. Huh?
I didn't get the argument of him saying over and over, well, just cut it. Just cut it. And it's like, but you didn't cut it.
But he says, at the time, no one said, this is bad, you should cut this.
Right.
He's like, now if 20 years later you think it's bad, and it seems inappropriate,
go ahead and get rid of it. If you had such a big problem with it, we're all in the writing room, you should say, cut this.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is inappropriate, but now 25 years later, you're looking back on it and saying, I was in the writer's room, and this is inappropriate. He's like, no one mentioned it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I feel like that's what he's saying. Right?
That's what I thought. Yeah. And like he's saying, cut it from future reruns or video.
Right, cut it from future refunds.
Okay.
If it's on TV now, cut it.
Yeah, get rid of it.
Got it, okay.
You know, it's like when Molly Ringwald complained about, you know, 80s John Hughes movies. And people were like, well, you can't expect him to look through that lens. That's kind of the vibe that I got from what Schneider was trying to use, whether or not that's a decent excuse or not. But saying, like, look, at the time, no one was saying, this seems inappropriate, this seems bad. But also, just to play devil's advocate, the people who were accusing him of being a bad boss said that the network and everyone there treated him like a god. What he said went. So it is.
I'm not sure that's devil's advocate.
It's reasonable to say, well, sorry, but the argument might be that. Well, yeah, no one was going to tell you that we thought it was weird. No one was going to tell you that we thought it was inappropriate because.
Okay,
we would lose
our
jobs.
You're complicit.
Right.
Right? So, like, you don't get a pass on this then. If you're in the writer's room and you're making money and you want to be a writer and Dan Schneider is king and kingmaker, and you think there's sexual innuendos with children that you find, as you stated, you know, horrifying, abhorrent, right? Whatever word we want to use, and you just go with it?
Right.
That's not okay either.
No.
It's not okay either.
But
like,
didn't you feel like that's what they
him.
Were trying to say in that documentary? I mean, they were talking about, well, no one dared say anything to him because he was king. And I'm thinking, well, if the stuff was bad enough.
I thought they said that, you know, maybe. I got, maybe you guys are getting different vibes. I got the vibe that you didn't say anything if he asked for a massage. Well, you didn't say anything if he said you were stupid. You didn't say anything if he said you weren't talented and anybody could write these jokes and he was just that guy. I felt like that was it. I didn't, you know, if you thought. And that I understand, and that's a toxic work environment, and it shouldn't be. But I can understand why you don't say anything to that, because I want to keep my job.
Yeah.
But if you think you're putting children in harm's way, and they're doing money shot jokes on Ariana Grande's face when she's nine, you got to say something.
Yeah.
You got to be like, wait, stop with the money shot jokes, bro.
Right.
First time funny. If that's what you think.
Yep.
Right. I mean, as much as we all get along, if I just kept doing money shot jokes with a kid here, I would think one of you would be like, dude.
I think I'm going to
say
it now.
Slow your roll on maybe, the, right?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you now. Maybe stop saying that. I don't know. I don't like those words together.
Well, that's what they called it, right? I mean, in the documentary, they kept saying it.
There was someone on the show who said, you know, we'd be doing these jokes and Dan would just be dying laughing. Like, it's so funny. So I thought that maybe they were saying, like, you know, well, I'm not going to go against if he thinks this is so great. But
Crack
you
man
have
wants
to
make sure we know money shot. Mom jokes are fine.
Those are allowed.
Yes.
Still allowed. Yeah. Maybe in 20 years we'll look back and say,
I don't want to live in a world where you can't make a money shot mom joke.
We probably won't.
I hope so.
I don't think we'll
I don't want my kids
long.
To live in that world.
Well,
I will fight for
they're
it.
They're going to have to build
my legacy will be that you're still allowed to do that.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo. All right, we're going to doom school in a minute, right?
Yes, we are. Hey, baseball's starting?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
3 o'clock this morning.
I had no idea. Mr. Beast getting a show?
He is?
We're coming full circle.
I just like that the cord happen.
I know. It's like when the cord cutting got as expensive as cable, and we've come full circle. Like, well, okay, so technically there's not a coaxial cable running to my house. There's a different cable, and it cost me just as much. You know, when a YouTube star becomes
TV
Fox star.
Or, you know, NBC going to give him a show?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, you get it. And I just wonder, I mean, I think he's obviously very talented. I'm not saying that I'm a huge fan of his, but I think he's very talented.
He is. And, you want to downplay what he does, but I will say my kids watch it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, man. Like, he has really good ideas.
Good ideas.
And how he pulls it off, you know, like a $100 a night hotel to a $1 million a night hotel. Mm-hmm. I'll stay in them all. That was really good, right?
All.
I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. I watched them all.
Like, and my kids are watching. I'm like, I think this isn't for kids, man. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Here's a $100 rent a car to $100. Like, and you're like,
yep.
It's cool, man. That, so, those yachts he went on?
I saw the yachts.
And then
the
Brady
yachts
showed
thing
up.
Was
on
Brady. Yeah. He was there. Yeah. Yeah. And I saw the houses with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
And,
I think it'll be a good test to see, like, is the medium the message? You hear that all the time. The medium is the message. Well, so then do people who like Mr. Beast, once it's on TV, do they go, oh, I guess it's not cool anymore? You know?
I wonder.
Or does it just introduce him to an entirely new audience?
I wonder, for his sake, will it, because we know this, how many hands are now going to get into his product?
Like, of creating it, or
writers and executives?
Sure,
like, you can't do that. You got to do this. This is how you do it. It's like, man.
I wonder how many he has.
Because I'm sure
now.
Right now on YouTube, he's got full creative control, though.
Yeah.
Will he have full creative control of this?
But I wonder how big his team is to come up with this stuff. Like, does he have a team that's
I know that there was a guy that worked in radio who posted on a site that his son had got hired to be one of the assistant producers for Mr. Beast.
Okay, that makes
sense. At 60 grand.
For that much money coming in, you'd think they would have some employees. You know. We'll talk about that. Also, a Texas woman who was kidnapped managed to kill her kidnapper. That's good news, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not for the kidnapper.
Not for the kidnapper, but also, maybe it's not such good news. We don't know. I'll explain coming up.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo! We're doing the news, my man.
Yeah, you look good today. Striped polo shirt. Yeah, fancy.
Thanks.
Your girlfriend out of town? You going to a hip-hop club?
No. I went to the thrift store this weekend to drop off some clothes, and I decided while I was there I'd get some new clothes.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Good.
Yeah, it was
whoever gave that shirt away.
Yellow tag day. Well,
doing pretty good.
Probably didn't fit them, you know. Some of the stuff still has the original tags on. They probably get it as a gift for birthday, Christmas. It doesn't fit.
Hey, I'm just saying. It looks nice. Whoever gave that away.
They just drop it off. Yeah. I got a couple things. You didn't say anything yesterday, but or maybe it was Monday, but that sweater I was wearing, Banana Republic. So it doesn't say it. It's not conspicuous, but
I didn't remember it, to be honest with you. But this looks nice.
It was a gray, just very nice-looking top that was Banana Republic. So
you have to wash them after you get something from the thrift store?
Well, yeah. You got to wash them.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, they smell. And I don't mean like they smell like B.O. They could, I guess.
They smell like piss, like those places smell like.
They smell musty.
Yeah.
It smells musty, like old books and like when you walk into a thrift store.
That smell.
Yeah, that smell. That's what they smell
like. Smells like old urine.
You have to wash them, yeah. Yeah, so you'll be seeing me in... maybe a few things over
well,
the course
I like
of the next week
right
that that you haven't seen before, and it was all from a
you've
a
seen
trip
this 72,000 times.
I've seen that. Well, and you'd seen most of mine 72,000 times, so I thought, well, I'm here, I'll get a couple different things.
Maybe
you know,
I'll
these
get
guys
something different.
Probably bored of looking. And I gave some of it away because
I was thinking about buying new clothes, but you know, I was like, it's summertime, man. It's going to be black and white T-shirts for me. You know that.
I need summer clothes. But anyway, we don't, you know. Have to get into the whole wardrobe thing. Clothes are expensive, so it's like, go to a thrift store. You go online, like, well, I should get some new clothes. And you're like, okay. You start looking at websites. Well, if you get like four things, you're over $100 at least. And it's like, okay, so where else could I shop?
And I always end up like Old Navy. So much clothes I throw out.
Exactly. You don't even know if you're going to like it. Yeah. And am I going to go to the mall and try stuff on? Probably not. In the news, Riley Strain, the MU student who went missing with his fraternity, the tall guy, size
15
shoe. I
always keep saying, why that 6'7" matters to me. It doesn't, but it's hard to hide a 6'7" guy. Like, people would notice him.
I thought of it because they said he weighed like 165 pounds. I thought, man, that's a lanky, tall guy.
Just,
you know,
if you're 6'7", and people are like, did you see a dude 6'7"
exactly.
walking on the street? Like,
notice.
I did.
You should notice.
Like, it's not like, did you see a 5'11"?
Right.
You know.
Another white guy
walking
on the street.
Mid-40s with a beard in a white hoodie.
Yeah.
Like, 72,000 of them.
Yep.
You know, but you see a 6'7", 150-pound dude, I'm
Yeah, I saw that guy.
White minute ball, saw that dude. He's hammered.
That's why that cop with the body cam footage, I'm sure, was like, oh, I saw that guy.
Exactly, I'm positive of it.
I did see him. But, you know, the last real clue that they were able to find was that debit card, and that was found by a social media person, a girl who'd seen that this student had gone missing, and she'd seen her on TikTok and decided her and her friend would go out there and try and join in the search, and they found the debit card. The police released a little bit more video. They released the body cam footage of that cop, which we believe still at this point is the last known sighting of Riley. That cop was responding to reports of someone trying to break into cars. While he was there, Riley's walking behind him on a path, like looked like a park, and you know, they turn, look at each other. Hey, how are you? Good. How are you? Good. Have a good night. That was it. And there was nothing else to that conversation. So that cop wasn't looking for Riley. That's not why he was there at the time. It just so happened that when he found out he was missing, he thought, oh, I think I might have seen that guy.
The latest video released by Nashville police shows a 22-year-old college student the night he disappeared while visiting Music City with his fraternity brothers. Other security video show Riley stumbling in downtown Nashville, even falling at one point. 11 days later, police still saying there's no signs of foul play or evidence of a crime at all.
One of the concerns is that he was, you know, Riley was being chased, he was being followed. We have seen no evidence of that.
Riley's family and friends, not giving up their fight to find him, remain hopeful he'll be found alive.
I thought it was, you know, interesting that the police came out and addressed this rumor or whatever, this theory that he was being chased, because I kept hearing that. Actually, my girlfriend was saying, like, I mean, look at the video. Someone must have been chasing him. And I watched that video and I thought, I don't know. I could see being drunk, you're lost, and at some point you pick up the pace across the parking lot. You know? Like, you've been that drunk before where you're like, yeah. You're stumbling around and you're like, where am I? I got to get out of this parking lot. I want to get home.
I have. Like, you'd have to chase me to run, but I get your point. You could be doing, you know, who knows what you're doing.
I think I've done it.
You're drunk enough to. Where was he? Nashville?
Yeah, downtown.
You're drunk enough in Nashville to be told you got to leave a bar.
Exactly.
And you're pretty hammered. You know what I mean?
Yep. And I didn't.
So who knows if you're running, stumbling.
Yeah, and those videos had wide enough.
Crawling. Like, I have no idea.
Which he was. I mean, he fell down. It took him a while to get back up. He's stumbling around.
He hit his head.
And in those videos,
that coffee's good.
He's being chased. I'm like, well, this is a wide angle. I don't see anyone chasing him.
Coffee's good, strong.
Good.
So the cops did say, look.
Half black, strong and half black, like your mom.
Got that snow cone. Hey, is that shirt from Shein?
No.
Oh, damn, I thought I spotted
nice.
A Shein. Well,
thank
it looks good.
Soft and fluffy like your sister.
So this question came up. I won't say who asked it.
You like it, when I do that
to
him, don't you?
Yeah. I want to know.
You're just like, don't say anything about my mom right now. Is that what's going through your head right now?
No, I wanted to ask you this question about Riley Strain. Would you, as a parent, or, you know, parent, loved one, but specifically if you're his parents, and, you know, God forbid he's dead, and they find him, and he has a funeral, would you allow those fraternity brothers at the funeral?
Yeah,
or would
course,
you
man.
Be
they
saying,
didn't do anything wrong.
Or would you be saying, no, you
they didn't do anything
you
wrong.
Let him, you told him
they
to go
didn't do
home
anything
on his
wrong,
own.
Man.
That's kind of how I feel.
They
especially
didn't do anything
they're
wrong. To be honest with you, you would look back on that and be like, oh, I should have went with him. But if the three of us are out and Snowcone was like, and he's hammered, he's like, I got to get out of here. I'm like, all right, man.
Also, if we're
see
hammered,
you later. Like, I wouldn't, you know what I mean? I'm hammered too. We're all hammered. Those are drunk rules.
You're right.
Right? If you're going to play in the drunk rule game, that's just drunk rules. Like, once we get to a certain point, it's every man for himself. Right? That's it. Like, I would feel bad, or if you said I needed help, hopefully, I would help you, but I can't guarantee that. You know why? Because I'm hammered. Yes. Right? It is. We have gotten into the drunk playground, and it is now every man for himself.
And especially,
you got to find your way home, man.
22-year-old drunk playground.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
I'm seeing even our age.
No, I know. But I'm saying especially
by the way, I left your house hammered.
I know. But I'm saying even if you're, so if you're in a different city, people are saying, well, you shouldn't leave a drunk friend
on
their own.
I don't know how to use a phone.
Right. Like, I get it.
How do you use a phone? I'm like, Jesus, I got to get out of here.
But I think especially, I'm just saying especially at 22, you can learn a lot along the way about, hey, you know what? I sent him in an Uber alone.
People want to know if
that.
I would blame myself if you drown in a pool of lemons.
Uh-huh. But, you know,
I might have blamed myself for that.
If you'd say, if I'd left the bar, if they kicked me out of a bar and we were in New York and you walked down to the front door and said, okay, man, I guess you're kicking out and you're drunk and you go back in to drink and then I go missing, you would feel bad. Just like if the roles were reversed,
I would feel bad, but I wouldn't feel like
understand.
I'm responsible.
You know, I don't know. You might feel guilty, like I should have, not responsible for the death.
Right. I would feel like, oh, I should.
I could have prevented
regret
this, maybe.
That. I let you go. But I also would, I think, be sound-minded enough to be like, I didn't know this was going to happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not getting, I wouldn't expect your family to be pissed at me.
No, I would think,
you
if anything, the friend who didn't go with them is probably feeling bad right now and feeling like, man, I wonder if I could have prevented this.
Exactly.
I should have gone with them. So I think they're already, you know, if they are empathetic at all, if they were friends at all,
yeah.
I'm sure they're already feeling punished. I don't think the parents.
I think everybody who was with him
that
day is like, man, we shouldn't have done this or we shouldn't have done that or I should have talked. You know what I mean?
We should have kept an eye on him, right.
Right.
We
shouldn't have drank so much before. You know what I mean? We should have stuck. Like, all that is inside 2020. I don't blame those kids for not leaving with him when he left. I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't think that the parents being mad at the kids, I think that's more along the lines of if your kid is in a fraternity and the kids haze your kid to death, then you are mad at those fraternity kids.
Of course.
Then you're not allowed. But that's not what this was.
No.
And I almost feel like the reason people are even bringing this up is because it was a fraternity. And they're kind of thinking of in those terms of those hazy, oh, fraternities do bad things.
But I wouldn't expect you to be like, we don't know what's going on. Maybe that guy met a girl inside and his buddy's like, hey, they just kicked me out. It's like, all right, man, you good?
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I'm good. And like, okay, I got to go back inside.
And again, you're drunk too. So
right. You
thinking he's probably good doesn't mean much because
right. You
don't, you're not thinking.
I certainly don't even let you go. As long as, like, I feel like hopefully I would stop you from driving.
Right.
But if you weren't driving, but there's no guarantee if I'm drunk, I may be right. Like, whatever you're going by.
Right.
I think I would try to stop you from driving. But if you were just like, man, I'm going to stumble home and get an Uber, I'd be like, You got money? Like, yeah, I just ordered it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I've done it in foreign countries before. Right. So, and I feel like the people that I'm with are pretty good friends, but it's like, you remember where the Airbnb is, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to go back. Okay. You know, don't look for me because I'm stopping by the red light district. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. So, you know, if I'm something that happened,
and if you were missing, that's what I would think.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not telling anybody.
Right.
I know what happened to him.
Right. Yeah, I don't.
I would go looking. Where is
the red
those 80-year-old Puerto Rican ladies?
Oh, Jesus.
In Memphis. I need to find one. Because I don't want to say anybody. I know where he is.
Story changes every time.
If you're looking for
her. She was maybe 40. Maybe. And she was Ukrainian. Or Eastern European. She was not Puerto Rican, and she was not 80. I don't even think she was 40.
Well, it was hard to tell because she was a burn victim.
She was not a burn victim. She'd had a little plastic surgery, you know?
Man.
God, you're shaming her plastic surgery.
It was bad.
I thought she looked pretty good.
I know you did.
Well, I mean, look, there was a reason she was working.
You thought she looked great.
She probably used to work at the place that we had just left.
This is the difference between us and that guy that went missing. I just wasn't on your level at that point.
Well,
I needed to get to your level.
I'll tell you right now, if that lady were here right now, I'd have to excuse myself, okay? I don't need to be on any level other than being me, okay? That's it. Just be me.
If you were here right now, that would be really weird.
Would it, though? It would be weird. But if I could explain a story that you'd believe. You'd believe it. Like, so here's what happened. I got on Facebook last night. Found the marketplace.
I'd be like, God damn it, you're drinking again.
Looks like that same girl. Exactly. It wouldn't be that weird.
The Church
of Laszlo.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Yo!
Yo!
All right,
so we still got to talk about, we're going to finish the news coming up. We still got to talk about Mr. Beast's TV show.
Right.
MLB's opening day. Also, I mentioned that Texas woman who was kidnapped and then killed her kidnapper.
Shohei got an RBI in his first at bat.
Game's already happened. Yeah, it was in the middle,
3 o'clock this morning.
Middle of the night. So baseball's here, my friend, which means you can start betting baseball. Yeah. Even if you don't like watching it,
you can bet
it on the sports betting apps.
Love it.
It's free money. But this dad in Ohio who called the cops because his son had too much homework, I feel for this guy. I feel like people are making fun of this guy, but I feel for this guy. I feel like he loves his kid. And well, I'll explain. Okay. I'll explain.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
What's
going on?
We're finishing the news, my man. Mr. Beast
Yeah, he's got a TV show,
he's
huh?
He's getting a TV show on Amazon. You know, Amazon asked a month or so ago for an extra $3 if you wanted to keep watching Prime without commercials. They said they needed to invest in good, big, creative content, and I have a feeling this is what happened. I can just imagine how Mr. Beast's like, listen, I need you to get me like 17 Black Hawk helicopters so that I can blow them up. And Amazon's like, yeah, we have a lot of money, but Jesus Christ. And he just keeps going like, well, maybe we'll just have subscribers pay an extra $3 or give them commercials. Let's get some of the money that way. Because his show, if anything, looks expensive. That's part of what makes it great. He gives money away and
insanely expensive.
He blows stuff up. Is he
blows up like Lamborghinis.
Lamborghinis. And stuff. Mm-hmm. Is he the biggest YouTube star officially?
I think he took over PewDiePie. Yeah.
Right? Like a while ago,
I think
maybe.
So, yeah.
If he's not, he's top three.
I'm looking it up.
I would think American YouTube star, if you had to guess who number one is, I would guess it's Mr. Beast. And if you haven't seen his shows, I feel like we gave a pretty good description of what
number
they are.
Number one is T-Series.
What the hell is that?
That's Hindi. Sorry, India.
Okay.
Number two is Mr. Beast.
Okay.
That's United States. And then three is Cocomelon.
What's that?
It's a kid show.
Oh, okay. Well, we did a good job of describing what Mr. Beast does, right?
Yep.
Gives away money, does a wacky kind of contest, blows up stuff.
Goes to $10 million a night. Hotels.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. With the Lamborghini, I like that because it was like, all right, I'm going to put this Lamborghini
they
here.
Literally crushed a
and
Lamborghini.
Then you have ways to, you know, you come up with a way to protect the Lamborghini. Did you see that?
Yeah.
This is the same one that we're talking about, right?
Yeah. If you can keep you it can safe, keep you get to keep it.
Right. So it's like mixing a video game and real life.
Right.
Yeah. And then he's got so much money, he can.
He'll give
out these
away
huge cash
the whole
prizes.
Video where it's just, you know, contestants, you know, compete to get $1 million.
Yep.
Just in one video.
That's it. Push a button. Push a button
push
and you'll
button
either
and
end
you'll
up playing
up
Roblox
a,
or you'll
right,
yeah,
blow up a rocket ship.
Or you'll win a bunch of money.
When you press the red button, you're either going to get a challenge or win $100,000. I'm also going to have these 8 soldiers shoot 10,000 bullets at your Lamborghini.
That's the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's going
to
be fun.
And you have exactly 24 hours to build whatever you want to protect your Lamborghini from the bullets.
Okay, so I don't think that this is a surprise at all that Amazon, that someone like Amazon, would say, hey, we're bringing a show. They ordered, it's called Beast Games, and it will be a reality competition series based on, obviously, Mr. Beast's YouTube channel. It says that the game will see 1,000 contestants competing for $5 million cash prize, the biggest single prize in the history of television and streaming, according to the press release from Amazon MGM Studios. Remember when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? That was like, you could win a million. But that was like 20-some years ago, and I don't feel like it's gone up much since then. You had back in the day, the Lazo, was it the $65,000 pyramid? How much was the pyramid worth back in the day? $65,000 pyramid?
I don't remember.
That's a little before my time. I was watching the reruns with my grandma, but I know I've heard people say it. They reference it if they're old enough to watch it. Yeah. She was over
turn it up.
Over at your house, apparently. But $5 million, is, I guess, is the biggest cash prize. I can't think of anything other than Who Wants to Be a Millionaire where the price
did.
Gotten bigger than that.
No.
Have they done $2 million?
Didn't they say, what was that show we watched on Netflix?
The game Squid Game thing?
Yeah, that said that was the largest at like a million at one point or something, wasn't it?
I think that's right.
I remember you saying
that. I think it was like 4.7 million.
Yeah, you telling me that.
Yeah, I think it was the biggest. Yeah, what we looked it up. It was the biggest payout in game show history.
4.7. So then 5 million? They had to up it just a little
bit,
get it to $5 million,
yep.
And then they can say in their press release, it's the biggest cash prize ever given on TV. So I don't have any doubts
Cocomelon,
that this thing would be
popular. Cocomelon nursery rhymes. What the hell is that?
It's a kid show.
What
it's
do
like
they
for
do?
Toddlers. It's a cartoon. And it's a lot of singing, and it's a little family.
Is it
but
good?
There's really no like dialogue or talking. It's mostly like mom, dad, and then a baby and an older sister and brother, and they sing songs.
Kids Diana show?
People think it's secretly communist indoctrination.
Really?
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, Bob Pop liked Cocomelon for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know the Diana show. Miss Rachel's really big.
Vlad and Nikki?
Bob Pop loves Vlad and Nikki. We watched a lot this
weekend.
These are
all toddler shows?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, are all of these
those
animated?
Those are Russian kids, but it's based in the U.S.
Are those any of the, which ones are live action?
Vlad and Nikki is.
Okay.
That's a family. And then, like, Ryan's World was big for a while. That's a live action. They all kind of follow the same formula.
Man, ever since you and I watched that docuseries on Hulu about YouTube stars and kids specifically being YouTube stars, you look at that stuff and you wonder what's going on behind the scenes. Like, is everything okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are they feeding you? Do you have a bed?
Yeah, well, Vlad and Nikki, I mean, it's very obvious that, you know, the parents are writing these scripts, or the team of whoever is writing these scripts. And what's funny is you can see, like, the first early videos, you know, they have this house, and you can tell probably the dad has a little bit of computer animation skill.
Okay.
And then you see the car get nicer. Then you see the house get a little bit bigger. Uh-huh. And pretty soon you're in this giant multi-million-dollar house.
Yeah.
There's Range Rovers and Rolls Royces out front. And they have just ridiculous sets they build for the kids.
Yeah. If your show is in that top five list like that.
And all I can think is, why?
Right, put your kid in front of the camera.
If I could do something on a computer, I could write a script.
But I'm sure, you know, everybody's trying. But those people who make it, it's something else how much money they can make.
I mean, Vlad and Nikki alone.
Obviously
let me see what they make a year.
Very tempting to want to try. But then when you see what some of these people are doing to their kids, it's like, oh, maybe we should regulate this stuff a little bit more. Because, I mean, hell, we just talked about the Nickelodeon thing. That was technically regulated somewhat, and stuff still went on. When you're talking about a YouTube series, there's no one checking on these
kids. So Vlad and Nikki have made $64
million. Wow. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Just from
you know what's
YouTube
crazy
videos,
on that is number 10 is WWE.
Just from people watching
100 million subscribers. 100 million subscribers to whatever they're doing.
Yep.
That's insane. That's insanity.
Well,
because, I mean, they're already making so much money on the, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What about the...
That's the only big company that's in the top 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the only one that, you know, there's a Z Music company.
Never heard of it.
Right. Nothing else. Everything else is kind of like the Kid and Diana show.
A lot
Vlad
of kids
Nikki.
Stuff.
Then you get to number 10, WWE. Number 13, Sony Saab. And that's Indian Language General Entertainment. Oh, okay. That's a pay television thing.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Then Nursery Rhymes, 5-Minute Crafts. Like, I don't get to the only Eminem Music is 33.
What? Really?
Eminem Music.
That's the first, like, you know,
59.
Well, the primary subscribers of people that watch YouTube are going to be kids. You know?
I understand, but just if you're getting down to WWE is the first, like, corporation that's established that has a top 10 on this list. Then the next thing I'm thinking, like, okay, what could it be? It could be another sports thing. It could be NFL. Right. It could be the news. Maybe one of these big news outlets.
Eminem,
Fox News, but it's Eminem.
Eminem Music. Then Taylor Swift, then Marshmello.
And Eminem could be bigger than Taylor
Sheeran,
Swift.
Ariana Grande.
Yep.
Eminem bigger than Taylor Swift?
And Billie Eilish is 49.
Crazy. Yeah, you don't think about that. Like, how much money does a person like Billie Eilish make from YouTube?
When you think about Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, Eminem, they're putting out how many videos a month? You know, if they have a new album cycle, they're going to put out, you know, the lyric videos, the music videos, whatever. Vlad and Nikki, those kids are pumping out videos every single day.
Oh, yeah.
And they have tons of compilations. Like, Bomb Pop will click on a 2-hour compilation of, you know, them doing this or whatever.
Right.
They put out tons and tons.
Right.
And
YouTube
tons.
Is their job.
Right.
For some of these other things, it's like YouTube is another way for us to get our message out.
Extra revenue.
The extra revenue. It's the thing. Yeah. And yes. And we're already doing this stuff either before YouTube or without YouTube. Doesn't
these
matter.
These kids are pumping out videos left and right.
But you know, Billie Eilish is hugely successful. You know that she tours and sells
Taylor
a lot
Swift,
of
Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, Eminem.
But you don't, what you don't think is, okay, so Billie Eilish is also number 49 on YouTube subscriber numbers. How much money is she making from Google just for that?
Yeah, just from Google. I wonder.
It's 49.2 million subscribers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they do
Eminem
it by monthly views, right?
I mean, if that's 49, I mean, the top ones, you're breaking over 100, 150.
Yeah, Eminem's at 59.
But
and
it's still
Mr. Beast is at 245.
245 million.
Almost 200 million
subscribers
more for him.
And they pay you, if I'm correct, based on monthly views, right?
That's it's just,
not just
from
how many
Google.
People subscribe.
Mr. Beast is going to have, you know,
well,
this
sponsors
video is brought to you by.
All that. Yeah, no, I'm talking
but
about
just
Google.
Just in Google alone.
In that documentary that you and I watched, they were talking about the checks that these families were getting from Google.
Yes. That woman that was had a kind of like a Vlad and Nikki, a kid's show, but not nearly as successful. They said she was getting, like, you know, checks for $36,000.
I thought, because I thought they said at one point she got one check that was for $50,000 or $60,000.
Yeah.
Maybe it was $30,000, but it was
lot. It wasn't that successful. I mean, it was successful, but not
Vlad compared to these. Yeah. I wonder how many subscribers she had going back and looking. And that other guy that was in that documentary went around and handed out cash. Now, that's something that Mr. Beast can afford to do. And people do like watching people handing out cash to strangers on the street. Seems to work every time. Whether you're doing it on TikTok, YouTube, whatever. Hey, I'm going to walk into the store and just start handing people thousands of dollars. But you need money to do that first. So that guy was running a damn pyramid scheme to try and make it happen. Because you can't just start that way. It'll work. Blowing up Lamborghini will work. But you got to get the Lamborghini first.
How do you start? Yeah.
Exactly. So I give Mr. Beast.
I remember watching, like, I think one of Mr. Beast. Like, I think I watched his first video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's him in his bedroom.
Yeah.
Like, you know, an old webcam, like on a, you know, a Windows computer.
In that Jake Paul documentary, they show him and his brother dancing.
Just dancing.
Like,
in
I saw that. Yep. It's like old, you know, Bo Burnham or something, just seeing those original videos.
I mean, how many kids try that and they get 18 views. Most. And they're like, screw it. You know what I mean? You got to stick with it.
I would assume that kids of a certain age, that the majority of them in America posted videos at YouTube on YouTube at some point, right? Mm-hmm. I would think. It just feels like something that if YouTube was around when I was a kid, I would absolutely have wanted to give it a shot. Me and my friends would have been like, let's do a Jackass prank and put it on YouTube or whatever.
I keep kind of waiting for Bomb Pop. You know, he's at that age where he really likes to watch, you know, YouTube kids. And we take videos of him and I'll like, you know, joke around and say at the end, like, make sure you like and subscribe. Like, that's kind of part of his vernacular. And I'm kind of waiting for, hey, can we do a video?
Oh, quit waiting. You need to put that kid in front of the camera, start getting some special effects going.
And the thing is, he'll use my phone or his iPad and he'll... God damn it, I set myself up here. But he'll take videos of himself and just like dancing around the house or whatever.
Yeah, put them up there.
But it's never like, hey, can you put that on YouTube? It's just like, send that to mom. You know?
Well, send it to mom. Mom can watch it on YouTube.
Well, you're waiting for him to ask? Tell him, hey.
I know.
I think you'd be great on YouTube. You're a star. I know. Exactly.
He's Mr. Beast, now it's hard to break down exactly without all the like, because they say he makes product, not only the ads, but product placement, obviously.
Sure.
But they say Mr. Beast made... $700 million last year.
Jesus,
I've seen him on the highest paid lists. Yeah,
$700 million in a year.
$700 million last year. I've seen those. Think. He doesn't have
the highest paid entertainer.
He doesn't have access to his bank account. That's what he says. His mother.
Huh?
He gives his mother access to his bank account. Any money they make, they reinvest in the show. He said
$700 million.
And he lives in a house that he bought in 2018 for $320,000.
Wow.
But he said he does have a chef and a personal trainer.
Well, of course. You got to have something.
Have you seen during Halloween when kids come to his house, he's giving out iPads and iPhones? And
yeah. Again,
$700 million.
Put it online. You know, that's more views. But like we said, once again, you just got
to
get that
stuff.
He says,
I don't have access to any of my bank accounts. I have a CFO, but my mom is the one who has access to the master bank account.
Well, it's kind of like Steve Jobs saying his salary was $1 a year or whatever. Right. Okay, but...
Now, but I did see that he, you know, lives in a house he bought for $320,000. So
Forbes put out a thing in 2022.
His CFO and his mother ain't letting him blow it, right?
Mm-hmm. Forbes put out.
If I made $700 million a year, I would not live in a $320,000 house.
Well, at least not just one of them. If I'm going to, there's going to be 10 of them, 20 of them.
Uh-huh.
It says Forbes in 2022 said Mr. Beast is the new number one with record earnings. Jake Paul ranked second. And they said when this came out in 2022 that Mr. Beast made $54 million in 2021. And that I saw somewhere where Paul was in the 40s.
I'm curious what Mr. Beast's buddies that are always in the videos with him, what do they make?
Yeah.
You know, because he's always at the same four or five guys. And it's kind of like
they're doing okay.
They're a show. It's really not just him now because, like, you know, you know those characters.
Here's somebody calculating Mr. Beast's revenue. And this is interesting because they're saying, I don't know when this was done. But Mr. Beast revealed that he got paid $167,000 for 77 million views. So he gets paid $2.17 for every 1,000 views.
Okay.
Excluding shorts, his main three channels have 37.7 billion views. Because this is what I didn't know. He has an all-beast Spanish channel.
Okay.
An all-beast Russian channel.
Smart.
An All Beast French channel, All Beast Brazil channel, Mr. Beast Hindi, Mr. Beast Arabic, Beast Philanthropy. So they're saying...
If you combine all those.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
Yeah, that's how you get that. I mean, look, even if it was $54 million, will you look at how much the highest paid actors make each year on the Forbes list?
Yeah.
These YouTube stars are making
close.
More. Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, we're taking a break?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
So this woman in Texas. It seems like, you know, from the headline, it seems like, I don't want to say a good story, but a story with a happy ending, at least for the innocent victim.
Just like
victim.
Same thing me and your mom had last night.
That's right.
Happy ending.
But then you start to read the details of the story and you go, how do we know exactly that this went down the way that they're saying it went down. And now, cops have come out and said, may not have gone down exactly. Okay. So what happened is a woman in Texas says she was kidnapped and that she was able to eventually shoot and kill her kidnapper.
Good.
When the cops arrived, she called 911. I have audio from her calling the police. The cops arrive. She's there. She's hysterical. And there's a dead dude in the driver's seat of the car.
Oh, boy.
Oh, she did it, right? She's not in any trouble. She's at home. The police are investigating. There's some things about the story, though, that make me at least a little bit suspicious, and I'll explain coming up.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on, kid?
So this woman in Texas, she was kidnapped, and she managed to escape. Not only did she escape, she fatally shot her alleged kidnapper, right?
Okay.
So I was talking about this a little bit on Twitch when you were taking a smoke break earlier today, and I was giving Snowcone some of the details, and someone pointed out that the first thing that made them a little suspicious was the age. Now, I know we can all laugh here, but I'll be honest, it made me a little suspicious too. She's 45 years old, and I'm not going to say that you can't get kidnapped when you're 45. What made me suspicious, which is maybe what someone on Twitch was saying, what made me a little suspicious was when I saw the age of the kidnapper, 45. Close in age, they're both middle-aged, and I just thought, okay, this guy's dead. Did anyone see her getting thrown into a vehicle? Are there text message exchanges? Are there, because she says she's drugged, kidnapped, the whole deal, right? So the story has been updated a little bit, though, because the police have given a bit of an update, which I think is pretty important. So a Texas woman told deputies that she fatally shot her alleged kidnapper, according to police. The Gillespie County Sheriff's Office said it responded to a 911 call from the woman who said she had been drugged and kidnapped and had shot someone. She was identified as a 45-year-old woman from Montgomery, Texas. This is, you can hear, she does sound very upset in the 911 calls.
I have a female on the line. She's quite hysterical. She's advising that she just shot somebody. She's been drugged and she's been kidnapped. She's advising that the gun she used is going to be a Glock 43. She is screaming in the background. She said she shot him all over.
We don't shot really him all know over. Other than what she's explaining to us, what may have occurred.
That's the sheriff. And the dispatcher says, you know, she was hysterical. Now, they're just saying where she's from. They're not giving her name. I understand that, I guess, right? I know they do that if you're underage. They don't give names. Yeah. But also, if you're a victim of something, I think it's reasonable to at least see this through. So the original story was that she was kidnapped. Somehow, the car gets pulled over near this wine vineyard, and she manages to shoot him. Now, maybe she's shooting him. Maybe she shoots him while they're driving, and he, you know, pulls over, and then he quickly bleeds out and dies in the driver's seat. We don't know. We just know that she was on the side of the road, and that she had run to this wine. They called this wine country. Texas is wine country. I suppose every state maybe has a wine area. I'm sure Michigan probably has one. Missouri has one. So they were in Texas wine country, I guess, at least according to the local news story that I saw this morning. But they said that she was claiming she'd been drugged, she'd been kidnapped, and she shot this guy. So the police looked into it, and they're like, well, you know, the guy's dead, but she says that he kidnapped her and she was drugged. So, you know, we sent her home and we're doing an investigation. Well, there's been what I think is a pretty important update, because they are now saying, the police say that they now know that the two were familiar with one another.
Okay.
So that does not mean, by the way,
she wasn't kidnapped.
That she wasn't kidnapped or that she couldn't have been drugged or anything. I am not trying to victim blame. This just brings up an interesting thing that happens sometimes in cases where you have two people and one of them can't defend themselves, because most of the time, because they're dead, right? You're only going to get the story from the survivor if the other person is dead and there's only two people involved. And that's what we have here. And now you've got a cop saying, well, turns out the two had recently met. They were familiar with one another. And this was a planned weekend trip that they were taking. So I am now under the impression that this was a planned weekend trip to wine country, Texas, that the two of them took. And they recently met, meaning they're probably, I'm just assuming here, they're probably single, right? Divorced, whatever. They're single in their 40s. Maybe they meet through friends. They meet on a dating app, whatever. And they say, hey, you know, let's take a weekend together. They probably hung out a couple times at that point. I don't think your first date is a weekend together in wine country.
You wouldn't think so.
I would think that's, you know, I don't know how long you're dating before you ask to do like a weekend to get away, but it's at least a few dates, right?
Sure.
You'd have to, and I think of even course. A few dates, you got to really kind of hit it off.
Yeah, even, like, yeah, that's quick.
All right, shotgun, and we'll take a weekend trip together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when you're really young and you're head over heels, you know, I don't know. But I would just think at our age, how long would it take me? A while.
Right.
You know, if someone's like, well, you know, if you really like her, you should take her somewhere. You should take her, you know, like on a weekend getaway.
I think it would be presumptuous to think, let's go stay in a hotel room together.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah. And for, I'm going to drive you there. We're going to be alone together for a couple days. That's, you know, a long time. So this guy, 49 years old, all we know about him is his age and that he lived in the Houston area. And we now know that the two were familiar with one another. And The woman was taken to the hospital afterwards. We don't know what the results of that were, if they found out whether or not she was drugged,
right,
but that it's under investigation. And I watched an interview with the sheriff, and he's basically saying what I think a lot of people are thinking. Well, she says she was kidnapped. He's doing it without laughing. She says this is what happened. He's dead. So right now, looking into it, I mean, she's allowed to carry a gun. She's certainly allowed to defend herself in Texas,
sure,
with that gun if she'd been kidnapped. So what do? We send her home. And I've often wondered, if I was on a jury for one of these cases, and they're like, hey, you know what? There's no evidence that this person kidnapped this person, but there's not also really no evidence that they didn't. You just have the one person's word. I think you have to take her word for it. Do you not? Unless someone else comes along and corroborates and says, hey, you know what? She texted me and said that she was going to get this guy's money, or corroborates the other way around and says, I saw him throw her in the car. She looked distressed. Some sort of a witness.
Right.
If none of that comes up in the investigation, then it's just her word. That's it. If you're on the jury, Lazo, if prosecutors said, we think this is weird. I mean, I don't even think prosecutors would be able to bring a case. But if it's just her and there's no one else to corroborate any of this, then you got to go with what she says. And I'm not, I'm not saying that this means that if you're in a bind, you kill someone. I'm just saying it does make you think, if someone killed you, if you get killed by a stranger, and that stranger, or, someone you don't know that well, or hell, even someone you live with, if you get killed by your partner at home, nobody's there, and your partner says, this is what he was doing, I think they have to take their word for it. I mean, how many times has that probably happened in the last, 20 years?
A lot, probably.
Thousands of times? Hundreds of times? I don't know. But you have to take her word. And here's the other thing. If they said, we're looking at her character, she's a shady character, and I'm making all this up, I have no idea, we don't know much about her. But if they said, she's a shady character, she has a history of doing odd things, she has a history of lying, she has a history of making up fantastic stories, even if they said all that, and I'm thinking to myself, the preponderance of evidence tells me she probably killed this guy and he probably hadn't kidnapped her, it's not enough to put her in jail. It's not enough to send her away. I can think to myself, now that I know all this stuff about all the circumstantial stuff, she may have just killed this dude. But there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to look at all these stories, but I guess they're going to have to find, there will be some things. Like, they can, I don't know. You watch more of these murder mystery stuff.
If they find text messages and those things,
Messages, was she drugged? How was he shot? Was he running away?
And she said she shot him many times.
Right. So,
shot him all over or something
like
that.
Was he trying to get away? I'm sure they can piece together through the crime scene exactly what happened.
Well, it'll be really important if they can find that she was drugged, but also doesn't necessarily prove that he gave her the drugs.
No, that's true.
But it would be a piece of evidence. If they could find some sort of witness who saw her looking distressed at some point before this, or a text message that she, anything, but if they don't have that, then I think you can, I think you can kill someone when no one else is around and say that it was self-defense.
Unless you kidnap me.
You can do it. And as I'm saying, as a citizen, even if I don't believe you, I will not put you in prison. There's not enough. That's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a preponderance, which for prison, criminal, what do they call it? I know preponderance of evidence in civil cases, right? But for a criminal case, when you need beyond a reasonable doubt, I'm not sending her to prison.
No.
There's nothing you can do.
I think they would be able to piece it together, though.
Maybe
if he was, if they were to say, hey, this is what happened. They knew each other. They went on a trip. And then, according to where the bullets are and how she shot him, he was running away. Well, I'd be like, okay.
They do that a lot of times. Like, he turned. But if he's in the driver's seat, I was thinking about that, because if he's in the driver's seat, I don't know, because of course you're going to turn away from a gun. He could have defensive wounds, but sure, you would, because if someone points a gun at you, you'd probably put your hand up. So I did think about that. As far as the gunshots, are they going to try and say, because the dispatcher said that she said when she called 911 that she shot him all over, I think was her words, will they take that into consideration? Like, well, why'd you shoot him so many times? Well, presumably if you're scared for your life and you think this person's going to rape and kill you, I guess you keep shooting, right? You're not shooting to scare them. You're shooting to stop them. You're shooting to kill them. So that's not enough on its own. There's really nothing you can do. I've always thought that in this day and age, it's basically impossible to get away with murder. But this story made me remember that there is a way to still get away with murder. Again, not saying that she wasn't defending herself, I don't know. Hypothetically.
Right.
But there is a way to get away with murder, and that way is to make sure that it's just the two of you, and that other person hasn't been...
Are people saying they know this guy? Or?
There's nothing because they're not releasing the names. All they said about the guy is that he's 49 years old and lives in Houston. All they've said about her is that she's 45, or lived in Houston, 45, and she's from Montgomery. Then they came out with this update saying, hey, these two were familiar with one another. This was a planned weekend trip.
His name.
Oh, you've got his name? Mine doesn't show his name.
Lejeune or something?
Okay. Mine doesn't have his name. Just says he's 49 years old and that he was from the Houston area. They'll give updates, I'm sure. They'll look into this.
Yeah.
But you can kill someone and get away with it.
Well, wait, she hasn't gotten away with it yet.
No, but I'm saying it's possible. If they don't find something, there's the only witness, other witness was him. And the only way, they always say, what's the old saying? The only way you people can keep a secret is, three people keep a secret is if two of them are dead.
Right.
So she can keep a secret on her own.
Yeah.
And if she's the only one who knows.
Until they start questioning her.
Right, but maybe. Get a lawyer, right?
Yeah. Get a lawyer, that's for sure. She's got to have one now.
Exactly. I mean, imagine, by the way, this is, and I don't mean to laugh, but you're in your mid to late 40s, you're trying to date. You're like, oh, we're going to take this trip to wine country in Texas. This will be fun. I've been lonely.
I can't imagine. Why would she murder him?
Well, that's just it. What does she gain from it?
Yeah.
Don't know. Someone earlier said, you know, like maybe she hates men. It's like Arlene, what's her name?
Yeah, but then you think there'd be a history of it to some degree. At 45.
At 45, right. That's what I'd be
looking
for. At
45, she didn't just start.
Has she been telling stories in the past? Has she been, or has she been the victim of?
And what about this guy? What's his story? Is he known to drug women?
Exactly. You know, what's the story? They'll find out something. I'm curious to know. But if there's no witnesses or anything else, even if they find that stuff out, it would all still be circumstantial evidence, presumably. Yeah. And for me, I got to let her go.
Enough.
It's not enough, baby. I got to let her go.
The Church of Laszlo.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on, Kim?
I think you'll be able to sympathize a little bit with this guy.
Okay.
People are making fun of him, giving him a hard time. And look, I mean, the guy doesn't sound like he's perfect. Maybe he was having a rough week. But he's a single dad, and he was upset about something. He tried calling the school, and he felt like he wasn't getting a response from the school, so he called the police. And he called both of those places a lot, and he's now being charged for calling those places so many times. Well, he's pissed off that his kid's getting so much damn homework. He wants to spend time with his kid, and his kid's coming home with homework. So this happened, like I said, in Ohio. This dad starts calling the school to complain about his child's homework. I recall you saying something about, I don't remember if it was too much or just the fact that they got it at all at a certain age, right?
Yeah.
Because your son was really little and he was getting homework.
Both of them, like in the first and second and third grade, it seemed to go away after that.
Mom Pop has it in kindergarten.
Yeah.
He brings stuff home all the time.
Ridiculous.
And we probably talked about that at the time. Like, did we have homework at that age? Because I don't remember.
Did. I don't think I had homework till like fourth grade or something.
Right. Fourth or fifth grade, we would get these like projects, and it was like, at some point, you're going to have to work on this project probably on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
But
my boys have
not
done that at all since like the third grade.
But like math homework at night and that stuff, that comes in junior high and high school. That's later.
I don't
Science
do
homework,
it.
They don't have, they just get it done at school.
I've seen my oldest say, like, oh, I got to go finish this paper I'm writing.
Oh, we had
to go upstairs, but I assume he's not.
Right. We had homework in high school for just about every class every day.
He's watching TV, or like, I got to get out of this house.
Yeah. I mean, I never
Maybe
did it.
They got good grades, but no. And they both say, like, they have like a first hour thing that's like a homeroom thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We started to get
I didn't have that.
Yeah.
And so they're like, yeah, you know, my little one would be like, I'll just finish it tomorrow.
A study period.
Wolfpack class or whatever it's called.
Ours was like at a random time, so it might be late in the day. So if you had a class before that, And we didn't get it till like our senior year they started doing it. It was like a study hour, and it was a half hour.
We had study hall.
Yeah.
But this was like every day first hour.
Yeah.
You can go in and make stuff up, yeah. I guess.
Mine was every day, I think, like fifth hour, something like that. Right. And but I never did homework. My mom would always say, you know, do you have homework? No. And she's like, I find it very hard to believe that you. And I was like, I get it done at school, but I didn't. I just right. I didn't do it. But I had homework in every class just about every single day. But elementary school, I don't remember much homework other than, like I say, maybe those projects. The Venn diagram thing. But Snow Cone, I think you're right. That's like fourth grade when that stuff starts. Anything before that's really construction
maybe
paper.
Maybe bringing home like, you know, math homework in like first, second, third grade. But I'll be honest with you, it kind of went away.
Okay, well, this...
And I would get a lot of stuff from teachers like, yeah, I don't give homework.
A lot of Bomb Pops is like, you know, learning to read sight words, spelling, your letters, you know, stuff that they kind of really need to work on.
He's there all day.
Oh, I know. And
he's already there.
Right. He hates it. I know.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
He's a kid.
Yeah. He's a kid. You're sending him to school all day. Now he's got
stuff
to do when he gets home.
Right.
Yeah, he hates it.
Yeah, I would too. I told my kids don't do it.
I always hated it.
What are you going to do? Fail you in the first grade?
So this dad doesn't like it. He doesn't. This is a K through 5 school, and he doesn't think his kids should be getting this much homework. Now, the school said, look, this is a K through 5 school, so there's not really a lot of homework. I think their quote was, there's not an abnormal amount of homework.
It's funny you say that, though, because I did look at my kids, my oldest grades today, and he had a C in math. I clicked on it. He had like 5 things that he hadn't done.
Yeah.
Just zeros on them. So I sent him a text like, do some of that math stuff.
Do your homework.
And he was like, no. I'm walking away from this conversation. Then he texted me back like 20 minutes later and said, I did 3 things. It'll be a B. And I was like, okay.
Math was the most homework. It was every day. Every day. This is, okay, so now do all these from this chapter and give us your answers, and then tomorrow you have to turn it in. Like, Christ. So anyway, this dad starts calling the school. He says, quote, this is from the dad. I'm a single dad of a boy and a girl, and I'm just trying to do the best I can, and that's all I can do. People make mistakes. Yeah. This guy's name is Sizemore, by the way.
Right, Sizemore.
According to a police report. Oh, that's his last name. Mm. According to a police report sent to the news by the Oxford Police Department, on February 29th, Sizemore repeatedly called Kramer Elementary School in Oxford, quote, because his son gets homework, which takes away from the time he has with his son after school.
Yeah.
I think that sounds like a pretty good dad,
yeah, me
right?
Too.
Like, hey, why are you doing this? I want to hang out with you. Sizemore was trying to reach Principal Jason Mertz, who was unavailable, according to the report. After Sizemore was transferred to Mertz's voicemail, the report says he started calling the school again repeatedly. Quote, during these conversations, Sizemore cursed at the secretaries while making demands of them. Again, according to police reports. According to the police report, a school resource officer eventually speaks to Sizemore several times on the phone, and he tells Sizemore, stop calling. The officer said that he noted that Sizemore's speech was slurred.
Oh, you're a little drunk.
He asked if Sizemore was intoxicated, and he claims that Sizemore clarified and said he was high.
Oh, yeah, well, that's good.
Right. No, I'm a dad. I'm not drunk, right? I'm just a little high. The officer said that he noted, the officer wrote in the police report, quote, Sizemore continued to curse at me and call me names such as bitch. He also told me he was going to make sure I lost my job. I explained to Sizemore, if he called again, I would file a telecommunication harassment charge on him. Okay, buddy. Like, come on. I get the guy's calling a lot, but you're a cop. You're going to file a telecommunication harassment charge on him? He says, I ended up hanging up on him. Sizemore called right back with the same behavior that he'd been warned about. So then he starts calling the police. Some time passes. That was the 29th. We go to the 1st. Apparently, he starts trying to call the school again. He's still really trying to get a hold of this principal.
Okay.
And he's getting so angry, he calls, they say, 18 or 19 times to the police station.
Okay.
Because he's like, look,
Has anybody talked to him? These
a-holes. Well, they eventually went to his house.
Basically, the parent didn't like that his child was getting homework, so he decided he was going to call the school and call the school repeatedly over and over again. He calls dispatch, I think it was 18 times, roughly.
I want to talk to the chief.
Leave a voicemail if he doesn't answer.
He wants to talk to the chief.
I'm being very nice.
Well, then come to the police department, and we'll call the chief in, and you can talk to him in person.
I pay for him. He can come to my house.
Well, I'm going to send some officers out to your house to talk to you in person since you won't stop calling.
There you go. That's all he wanted in the first place. Good. I pay for him. He can come to my house. By the way, little lesson. If you ever call the police and ask for something and they say, come on down, we'll look into it. Don't go down.
No.
Hey, can you look up this gun and see if it's stolen over the phone?
No,
yeah, bring it in. No. Do not bring it in. So anyway, you know, now, of course, this is this national story making fun of this guy for calling the police so many times and calling the school so many times. And he's been charged. According to these police reports, if he's found guilty of these charges, he faces a maximum of $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail for each count of telecommunications harassment. For the menacing charge, he faces $250 and up to 30 days in jail. So he's got two counts of that harassment thing and then one count of menacing. I mean, come on. That guy was calling a lot. Yeah. Got to press charges against him. And that he's a single dad, and he says, I'm just trying to do the best I can. And his reason for being angry was he wanted to spend more time with his son.
Yeah, I mean.
Now his kids will probably get taken away from him because he was high on
the phone.
I know,
he's spending less time with him because he's telling people he's high.
I know.
What a mess.
So, you know.
What a mess.
I know. I feel so bad for any time you hear these things involve kids.
I start with the idea that, yes, your kids shouldn't be getting homework. You have a right to be mad.
Yeah.
And if you call the principal and they blow you off, you have a right to start to get even more mad.
Right.
But slow your roll with 18 times to the dispatch.
Yeah, I mean, he
right? You've kind of...
It's crazy that he waited a couple days.
You're pushing your luck, buddy.
He was still that angry days later. You know what I mean? He had time to cool off. If he were drunk or high or both,
well, maybe
and in
he thought,
a rage...
After all this, they'll stop sending the homework. They probably kept sending it.
Well, yeah, he wanted to talk to the police chief because he was mad the school wasn't responding to him. And he's saying, like, I pay for the school, too, and these people are basically blowing me off.
He's got a point.
That's what I'm saying. He does have a point. And I don't know a lot about this guy. I know very little, actually, other than he may have been high while children were under his care. But I don't know that taking his kids away from him, not that they're saying that's going to happen, but I'm worried that that could happen. Right. I don't know if that's better for them. This is a dad who, let's go back to the beginning, wanted to spend more time with his son. Let's focus on that instead of the 18 calls. And every dad gets angry
and
at some point.
And too much homework.
Too much homework. Stop
giving homework.
And for the principal to say to the news, of course, wouldn't talk to Sizemore about this, but would tell the news, had time to talk to them, this is a K-5 school. We don't give an abnormal amount of homework.
It's a weird
give any.
World where we do that, too. Because and I know movies are different, but if a dad in the movies, right, or a mom, brings work home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it at the table. Everybody's like, leave your work at work, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, they're a bad parent.
Uh-huh.
But then at that same table, they show a kid doing homework. I'm like, what's the goddamn difference?
Yep.
At least one of them you're getting paid for.
Yeah. And they talk about your mental health. You need to, when work is over, it needs to be over. That's
you need
it.
To spend time
with
your
kids. Time with your family.
Watching them what? Do their goddamn homework?
Right. I hate it. I hate homework. It's stupid. If school were only half an hour a day.
Piss on it is what I say.
That's what I say. Yeah. Don't do it. I never did a lick of it, kids, and I graduated. It was close.
I never did a lick of it, and I didn't graduate. And look at me now.
Look at me now.
Look at me now.
Look at me now, Mom. Look at me now.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. Well, that's that, Laszlo. I like your Descendants mug. Where did that show up from? Oh, was that from when they cleaned out the...
That's from when I cleaned the office.
The back office? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks.
Pretty cool.
Thanks, man.
Doesn't that guy have a name? He has a name, right?
I just looked it up because that cup was sitting here forever.
Yeah,
I was like,
what is his name? I forget.
Goes to school.
I know
whatever,
Eddie is Iron Maiden, right?
Yeah, he's got a name.
He's got a name. I'm looking it up.
So-and-so goes to school.
I was in the car one time with a friend.
Milo.
Yeah, Milo goes to school.
Milo goes to school, yeah.
I was in the car one time. This was years ago with a friend, and we were on the way, I think, to the casino, and it was like on shuffle or whatever, and the Descendants came on, and he starts singing along to every word, and I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He's singing along to every word, and he's like, just leave the Descendants on. I'm like, okay, and so I just left it on, and that's one of those bands that someone can say they like, but you're like, dude.
You name three songs.
Exactly. Yeah. So for him to start singing along, I was like, man, this guy's
pretty that's pretty cool.
Cool. Pretty cool, yeah. Pretty I can't cool. name three songs. I couldn't even name Milo Goes to School. I just knew that he had a name.
Yep.
That's something.
Not bad.
Not bad. I know they're cool.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that shows a little bit of something there, right?
Are we done yet?
We are.
Pee.
Yeah.
Go we are?
It. Yeah, we're done.
You sure?
I'm positive.
All right, well, good show, Milo. I bet you Milo didn't do homework, though.
No way.
All right, stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside.
We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.